Fourth gate.
The next case, Kreshner versus Fox Hill Golf Resort, Ms. McNamara McGraw.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. My name is Lorraine McNamara McGraw, and I represent the plaintiff appellant in this matter, Judith Kreshner. This case is before this court because the factual disputes are numerous and should not have been decided by the district court. In fact, Ms. Kreshner is here because she disagrees with the court's conclusion in its decision that there were no disputes of material fact, that she in fact had presented no prima facie case of age or sex discrimination, and that she had presented no case supporting her case of hostile environment.
Could I ask you, Ms. McNamara McGraw, what offensive behavior or language was directed at Ms. Kreshner here?
In terms of the allegation or the claim of hostile environment?
Well,
that would...
Go ahead.
Your Honor, that the allegations of offensive conduct relate specifically to our construction of part of the argument as being that of hostile environment in her termination, and specifically that the manner in which she was treated was so unique, was not based on any violation that had ever been brought to her attention, that she was basically drawn out of a 20-year career as a professional in this sort of hospitality business, and specifically with the defendant, Fox Hills, that those allegations are specifically related to the hostility with which she was treated by Bob Dove. It's simply unheard of. One can't imagine a person being marched and fired in front of their colleagues on the basis of something that wasn't really anything. She was following the rules.
Was that hostility based on some discriminatory matter, or just because he's hostile?
Well, Your Honor, that goes to the essential nature of the case, and that is that this is a matter of strict, very, very clear disparate treatment, both in terms of her sex and in terms of her age. In other words, no one, the disparity of treatment is that she was marched out on the grounds that, one, she exceeded her authority by requesting information from security personnel regarding activities of certain managers. Well, Your Honor, there's no evidence. In fact, this is an essential conflict of evidence because Ms. Kreshner has always asserted that she was simply applying the rules. There are written standards of conduct which had been signed by Mr. Peters, by Ms. Kreshner herself, by all of the actors in this case. And there were also directives by Bob Dove requiring managers to enforce the rules uniformly as to everyone. And that was the basis of Mr. Wanick's call to Ms. Kreshner.
Now, was the receipt of security reports part of her duties?
Absolutely, clearly a part of her duties and an undisputed fact. In fact, the evidence that's presented in the appellate brief is very clear that from the time Mr. Reese took office, even during the Bandsnapper incident back in 1998, all of the security reports had Judy's name on it. Mr. Wernick, her comparator for the sake of her termination, also testified in his affidavit that he'd never been told that Ms. Kreshner wasn't to receive security reports, and in fact, that she had always received them. And this is in addition to the fact that she testified repeatedly.
I don't mean to interrupt. Would you be kind enough to identify a similarly situated male or a younger employee and then explain how that employee is similarly situated?
Well, Your Honor, specifically Mr. Wanick, we maintain is specifically the similarly situated employee. And that is for these reasons. One, Mr. Wanick was head of security, just as Ms. Creature was the front desk manager. Two, he made a phone call to her regarding allegations of impropriety of the manager, Mr. Peters, and he was not disciplined. I might add also, Your Honor, that significantly, he wasn't disciplined even though Mr. Dove admitted that Mr. Wanick had himself breached confidentiality. There's a report in the record written by Ms. Sullivan allegedly pointing out that Dave Wanick does not report to Judy but reports directly to Tony Reese. This is at Fox Hills app 98, Your Honors. Dave did not act responsibly, breach confidentiality by sharing details of this incident with someone other than his supervisor who did not have a business need to know. Now, this is, again, a direct comparator. If Ms. Creature would be dismissed after 20 years for breaching confidentiality because she accepted a call, what about Mr. Wanick, who made the call and who claimed he did it because it was part of his duty?
He didn't claim it was part of his... I'm sorry.
No, if I may for a second, because I want to follow up what Judge Romner said. I think the part of the thrust for a question dealt with similarly situated. Wanick was not in a managerial position, was he?
Yes, he was.
He was a security officer, right?
He was a security manager. He was the head of security. He supervised the point.
Did he report to Ms. Creature?
No, he didn't.
But you're saying he's at the same level of management?
We're saying that this is a disputed fact, that Mr. Wanick, in his affidavit, identified himself as manager of security. In fact, the reports, and I cite Fox Hills App 94, the report written allegedly on November 23, 1999 by Ms. Sullivan indicates notes from a telephone conversation with Dave Wanick, head of security. There are further indications where Mr. Dove himself indicated under deposition testimony that he was head of security. So that's the basis for the dispute, but it's also the basis for our position that he is similarly situated.
I am having trouble with that, I must tell you, because then are we saying that anyone that was head of any area would have been similarly situated? I mean, what do those two positions have in common?
They both report to the general manager. They both supervise employees. Mr. Wanick clearly supervised his co-employee, Nina Peters, that night. We acknowledge that there is only one front desk manager, but that also goes to the issue of being singled out, Your Honors. And the singled out part of it is what makes the issue here, and that is, if you look at the similarity of circumstances, all of them were subject to discipline under the rules. All of them were subject to discipline under Bob Dove. Mr. Dove admitted he breached confidentiality and he violated the chain of command, and yet he wasn't punished, and he was the younger man. Your Honors, I see my time is up, and I thank you.
Thank you, Ms. McNamara-McGraw. Ms. Berry?
May it please the Court. Your Honors, I hope to clarify some of the issues that you raised earlier. Mr. Dove terminated Ms. Creature based upon non-disputed facts. Ms. McNamara-McGraw indicated that Ms. Creature was similarly situated to Mr. Wanick. This is not the case. Ms. Creature was terminated because of and based on non-disputed facts in the record. It is not disputed that Ms. Kreischer had responsibility for managing or monitoring the activities of the security officers. It is not disputed that Ms. Kreischer asked the security guards, 5 out of 6 of the security guards, to report on, quote, bad stuff that were going on with regard to managers for whom she had no responsibility for monitoring.
But is it true that she was, well, she had previously, for the 20 years or whatever, received the security report?
She may have received security reports. This situation that triggered her termination was not the receipt of a security report. She had requested an unauthorized request of the security officers to report bad activities of managers for whom she had no responsibility. It was this secret request, which is not disputed, and in fact the affidavit prepared by Ms. Kreischer and submitted on behalf of Mr. Wanick indicated clearly that he was asked by Ms. Kreischer to report bad stuff, and he did so on the event in question. That triggered the phone call to Ms. Kreischer at her home. This was not simply a receipt of a security report. There was more at play here. And to compare Mr. Wanick, even if, and we don't submit this, but even if he breached confidentiality, these are not adequate comparisons. There must be, as Your Honors brought forward in the principal argument here, that there must be more than a status of an individual that needs to be similar. Here, the conduct is dissimilar. And we would also submit that there is no evidence in the record put forth by plaintiffs that Mr. Wanick was a younger man. Given this, we submit that there has been no evidence of any similarly situated individuals treated differently. Ms. Kreischer has simply failed to put forth evidence that would establish any dissimilar treatment. Whether at the end of the day we agree that Mr. Dove and the rationale and the basis for his decision was incorrect, it certainly is undisputed that Mr. Dove, at the time of his termination, and as set forth in his termination script that he read to Ms. Kreischer, that he believed that she had engaged in the secret request of the security officers, and the phone call that Mr. Wanick placed was made pursuant to Ms. Kreischer's unauthorized request of the security guards. Similarly, and I will address Judge Rovner's initial question at the outset of this case, with regard to sexual harassment, I think it is clear by the arguments in brief and also stated here today that the basis for the alleged sexual harassment is simply Ms. Kreischer's termination. There is no legal authority to find that sexual harassment can be based on a termination. It relates, and the Supreme Court outlined in Meritor, that it relates to terms and conditions of employment. There is absolutely no basis for a finding that a termination can support a claim of sexual harassment. And to your initial question, at the outset, there was no offensive behavior. There was no terms and conditions to which Ms. Kreischer was subjected to constitute a sexual harassment claim.
When they refer to the chain of command, where did she fit into that?
Yes, and I meant to clarify that as well. Ms. Kreischer, we contend, reported to Mr. Reese. Mr. Reese conducted, it's undisputed, he conducted her personnel evaluation. Even if you accept plaintiff's argument that she reported to Mr. Dove, it is clear based upon the facts that Ms. Kreischer wasn't, as plaintiff asserts, simply monitoring the standards of conduct. She did nothing with the information she received from Mr. Wanick. So even if she contends that I was doing my job in managing employees for whom she had no responsibility.
That was part of the question. Who's below her in the chain of command?
Below her in the chain of command? The front desk staff.
Okay.
How much time would she have had to do something? How much time elapsed between the time she got this report from Mr. Wanick and the time that she was fired?
I believe that there were 4 days that
had
elapsed. And certainly, plaintiff contends throughout the briefs here that it was not extraordinary that a manager be called at home when an event occurred. She did not call anybody at home when she found this information, nor did she report it when she came to work. She simply did nothing with the information other than clearly telling others who did not have a business need to know.
Will the record tell us whether or not she had an employment contract or whether she was an employee at will?
I don't believe there's information in the record as to that effect. If there are no further questions, we'd respectfully request that the court affirm Judge Griesbach's decision in this matter.
Right. Thank you, Ms. Berry. Ms. McNamara-McGraw?
Well, Your Honors, again, the focus issue here is that Mr. Wanick and Ms. Creature are similarly situated for purposes of this case. Both of these people were accused of not having a quote-unquote business need to know. And again, I cite Fox Hills' own appendix at page 98. It was determined that Mr. Wanick also reported to Mr. Reese, according to that report, just as Mrs. Creature allegedly does. Mr. Dove acknowledged that Mr. Wanick did not follow the chain of command. Ladies and gentlemen of the court and Your Honors, I ask you to understand that making a call to Ms. Creature did not, at midnight, was a part of the job of manager. What Fox Hills attempts to do is to suggest she wasn't a manager and she had no right to receive the call. All she did was receive a call. After that, she did nothing, as counsel said, with the information. She never got the report before she was fired, and she went on vacation the following day before Bob Dove ever got back. She did nothing but take a proper report under the standards of conduct, under the rules established by Bob Dove in 1998 that all managers were subject to the same conditions, and also established that it was appropriate for managers, for security, to call managers at home if necessary. And I cited those.
But shouldn't he have called Mr. Reese since he reported to Mr. Reese?
If so, why wasn't he disciplined? We can tell he said, and Ms. Preacher said, it was entirely appropriate what each of them did. And if you accept that, that he should have called Mr. Reese, Your Honor, then I think it's appropriate to say, then why wasn't he disciplined?
Was he directed to make that call?
No. My mother used to say, if someone told you to walk off a bridge, would you do it? You know, was he directed? He did it, he said, and she said, because their job required the security manager to call an appropriate manager at home in the instance that there would be something that they weren't sure about. And it's certainly unusual to find another manager in his office after hours in direct violation of the written rules of conduct and the rule of Bob Dove, which I cited to you previously, that he gave in 1998, that no one, including managers, should be on the premises after hours unless directly allowed to do so by Bob Dove.
Could Ms. assuming inappropriate conduct, could Ms. Creature, after receiving that call, been charged with having to act?
Her job was to simply direct him as manager, follow the rules, do what you're supposed to do. And that's precisely what she said. It is entirely a dispute of fact. There is absolutely no evidence in the record that's documented or documentary. Mr. Wanick and Mr. Schutte are the two people that Mr. Dove said told him she was creating this list. It then morphed into 5 or 6 people. Mr. Schutte's report came allegedly the day after Ms. Creature was fired, saying she was conducting her own little investigation, and that meant she was trying to find out why she was fired. It happened after she was terminated. And Mr. Wanick's testimony is a dispute of fact. He says she did nothing wrong. I was never told not to call her with security issues. And as the file shows...
The record reflect whether he ever had called her in the past with
yes.
regard to security issues.
Yes. Ms. Creature testified without contradiction that she had been called many times before because she was the frontline defense. The front desk manager got those after all hours called. And if you look at the incident in 1998, the alleged infamous bean snappers, Mr. Diedrich's testimony, which was submitted by way of affidavit through his email, points out that he made very clear to Judy and to Mr. Dove what the issues were. Mr. Reese was really never mentioned.
Thank you. I just wanted to know who the bean snappers are.
Well, Your Honor,
In one sentence, I don't even...
They are performers, women who perform in the Appleton area, and they're infamous. They dance naked. What can I say? I apologize.
That's what I wanted you to say.
That's what they do, and I was with a colleague who said she's from Appleton, and she knows about them. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Ms. McNamara.
And as of the record, I would ask you to reverse the decision of the court. Thank
you. Of course. All right. Our thanks to all counsel. The court will take a 3-minute recess.